All right, we're back and we're still talking about the Abrahamic covenant and your inheritance or our inheritance once we're in Christ. And I covered Galatians chapter 3, which is really the foundational New Testament chapter that I really want to hit. There obviously there's other writings and we'll hit speckles of some of the other verses as we move forward, but the basis of it is that if you are a son of God or in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs, or a son of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. The crux of the matter is, as long as you are a child, you differ nothing from a slave, though you be Lord of all. So what I've seen in my lifetime is believers have remained children in concern to their identity as sons and daughters of Abraham. We've gotten some of the sonship message as being sons of God at some level, but we are dwarfed in our identity because we still don't know what heirs and inheritance that we're part of, which is the Abrahamic covenant. So I want to hit, let me go back to Genesis and hit a couple spots of where God talked and conversed with Abraham and promised him things. And I want you to get that when he promised Abraham this, this is your promise, because Paul solidifies it that if you're in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise God made to Abraham. So let's go to chapter 12, and it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," which his name hadn't been changed yet, "to get out of the country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." So number one, God wants to make you a great nation and a nation changer within your nation. "I will bless you." That means he's going to empower you to prosper. "I will make your name great." So God actually wants to make your name great because of his inheritance to you as a son. "And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I want you to realize that the intention of the Father for you is that there would be generational lineage through you that would be left on earth, and that the families of the earth, all of them, would be affected by the lineage that you left behind, just like Abraham. Because if you are his seed and your heirs according to the promise, this is part of the testament of the promise right here. So I'm going to go over to chapter 17, because I want you to realize that in chapter 17, this is where he starts dealing with Abraham about having a child. And in 15 is where he cut the covenant with him. I thought it was 17, but I think that's in 15. And then he talks to him about what he's going to do for him in chapter 17. But the interesting thing apart, in verse 5, he says, "No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham," which means, "For I have made you a father of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." I want you to realize that part of your inheritance, this is so incredible, that kings would come through your lineage. You're like, "Well, no, that was promised to Abraham." No, the word of God says it's promised to me now, because it says if I'm in Christ, then I'm Abraham's seed, meaning that everything coming through the lineage of Abraham belongs to me now because of Christ and what he did for me, putting me as a son of God and putting me in a state of an heirship and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Now, everything that was promised to Abraham now belongs to me, but we don't see it that way. We're like, "Well, dude, you don't know who I am. I'm not going to be no father of nations, a prince of nation, or I'm not going to be a mother of nations or a princess of nations. I mean, I'm just trying to pay my bills, dude. I'm just trying to live life here on the planet and get by and whatever your case is, or you think that, "Well, I could never do that. I believe what you're saying, but I just don't see the capacity in me to do that." Let me give you some thoughts on this, because everyone's called to do something different. You're right. And I want to kind of insert here in this teaching, which I think is one of the greatest overlooked stories in the whole Bible. And you've probably heard verses of this quoted, but I'm going to give you just a little bit more context with it. But it's in Psalms chapter 139. And David is going through the litany of man, basically, and he gets down to about halfway through the chapter. I think it's in verse 13, and He says, you have formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. The very next verse is interesting. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You realize that that's you? Because there is no private interpretation of Scripture according to Peter. He said, there is no prophecy that's a private interpretation. What that means is that if it's in the Word of God and Jesus has cut the covenant already and paid for all of it for me, that whatever I read as promised in this Word, which is the testament that he's given me, his testament, the Word of God says in Hebrews, you have to have a testator if you're going to have a testament. It means somebody got to die. So Jesus died, he was resurrected, and everything that belongs in this testament belongs to me. It belongs to you as well if you are in Christ. Okay? So I want you to realize that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, number one. Most people won't argue with that. And that you're skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth, which is in your mother's womb. And it's interesting because the verse 16 says, your eyes, this is God himself, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, what they were what? The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. You know, it's interesting. In one of the books that I'm writing, I have a chapter called Blueprint. And the Lord started showing me, he highlighted this word substance just kept just jumping off the page every time I read this and became the foundation of that whole chapter. And what he showed me is that word substance there in the old English language is his fingerprint or his portion of the Father's DNA in every human before they're born. Because every human is fearfully and wonderfully made, and he sees every one of them with his own eyes, and he sees the substance that he's put inside of them while they're being formed. Because it says they were yet unformed. So when he puts his fingerprint, if you will, this is the way he explained it to me, his DNA is this substance. There's a substance, DNA. Substances of DNA are a fingerprint of the Father put in every human before they're born. Now, you, as being a believer, realize that you must be born again, or your spirit basically is still separated from God. So I understand that part of it, but it doesn't discount what David's talking about. Because when David was writing this, this is pre-Christ and no one was born again. So every human actually comes with the DNA of the Father inside of them. And basically we as a nation of believers in a nation are ones who should unlock it by getting them, number one, in Christ and then revealing to them the inheritance and the heirship that belongs to them based on what Christ did. So I want you to get that in this chapter, it solidifies that you have a calling, that you have days that have already been fashioned for you before you were ever born, that you have a purpose and a destiny and some things that you have to step into. Now, I want to take a little side journey on that particular topic because I want you to understand, I don't believe you're called to just be one thing. And I think I've seen this derail believers my whole lifetime as a Christian, and I've been derailed by it. Thinking that if I'll get this one thing working in my life, everything's going to be wonderful. That is a lie from the enemy because it gives you this set state that you are striving for that one thing. And when that one thing, let's say you want to be a worship leader. Well, when I'm a worship leader and I'm on the stage in front of thousands of people and I've arrived, then I'll be happy. Well, you'll never be happy. You'll never be fulfilled. Because that is not all your purpose is built around. Maybe that is part of your purpose. What I like to do, and I've done this myself, so I'm going to help you here, hopefully, and encourage you because I'm going to use David as an example. What I realize is that the Word of God says, and I think it's in Peter, he says that God has given us manifold grace. That word manifold is multi-layered. Multi-layered gives the connotation of the coat that Joseph wore, which was many colors. Meaning that your callings and purposes and destiny in God are multi-layered, many of them is what I'm getting at. And you're like, okay, so explain that. All right, so it's really simple. Let's use David as a prototype and as an example. David was a king, so that's part of his destiny, right? David's also called a prophet in the word, so that's part of who he was. David is definitely a psalmist or a songwriter because he wrote all of Psalms, right? So that's three. Many people called him a worship leader. The Word of God doesn't call him a worship leader, but you can't discount his songs and him playing music because he had an anointing. When he played music, demons fled from Saul. So there was something on him about music, and definitely he wrote the Psalms, right? So that's three. He was a father to his children. That's four. He was a husband to his wife. That's five. And he was a priest, as kind of like we are, in the sense that the Word of God says we are kings and priests, and he stepped into a future generation when he put 24-hour worship in place, and he became somewhat of a king and a priest in that concept. But he's definitely a prophet. So that's five without going really deep into who he was. Number six is he was a son. So you can't be a father unless you're a son first, because that's how it works. So we have six different purposes, if you will, callings, extensions of God's grace through him that would be lived out and would affect his nation and the people around him. So what I want you to understand is that you are similar in a sense that you are multifaceted and manifoldly created by the Creator with his substance in him. And you're not just if you think of yourself as a preacher or as a business person or whatever. You're not just that. You know, my wife wanted to be a mother. And all she wanted to do when we got married and we talked about it, and we were later in life having children, we were in our early 30s, and she just wanted to be a mom. This was her calling in life. And you know, but she's also an artist, which is incredible, and she's an incredible artist. She's also very much an organized person that she, when she sets up an event in her home or something, when people come over, that it's all put together. So I don't know what you call that, but she has a gift for it. My point is that my wife is got multi layers of callings, but her thrust in her heart was to be a mom, you know. But she's a wife, she's a mother, she's a daughter, she's an artist. I mean, that's just my wife, you know, and it's like, and she's other things. But I'm the same way. I'm a businessman, but I'm a preacher, but I have a prophetic gifting on me. I have an apostolic leadership call on my life. I was a son and still am to some people. I'm a father to some now. So the reason that I'm bringing all this up is I've seen the fatalistic mindset of the believers who just think they're called one thing. And if they can't get to that in their life, which normally when God puts his finger on one thing in your life, and I'm not saying that he doesn't, that one thing is elusive. David was promised to be king from the time he killed Goliath until he was in his early 30s. And historians said he was around 14 or 15 years old when he killed Goliath. So some 16 years later before he's king. That's a process. But God promised. And so what I want you to get is, as you are walking through the promises in your life based on Psalms chapter 139, you can read the whole thing for you. Realize that you have a multi-layered calling mechanism inside of you. This is like the coat that Joseph wore of many colors. And that if you're called to be a mom, and you're called to be a daughter, and you're called to be a prophet, or you're called to be a businesswoman or a businessman, or you're called to be whatever, know that it's multi-layers. And the reason I'm hitting this is that there are some areas in your life right now, you'll probably agree with this statement, that are working really well. Maybe your relationship with your mate is great, but your business is not so good. There's also areas in your life that you're frustrated with and that are not working, right? We're all like that. We're all in process and in growth. So if I focus on the one thing in my life that's not working, that I feel like God called me and this is my purpose, I'm going to be one frustrated mess everywhere I go. And this is what I've seen. And this is why I so want to set believers free, is that your calling is so much more than one thing. It might, your central theme might be around that one thing. But I want you to get to the message that you are multi-layered, so that you don't get frustrated and stuck in the mud of mire by that one thing not working. Okay, so there's my caveat. I'm done preaching on that because I want to set people free. Part of your Abrahamic covenant promises is right here in Psalms 139. It's that you have a purpose and that the days were fashioned for you before you were ever born, and gold was put inside of you, multi-layers of gold and treasure that you're to dig out. And I love what one of my mentors said, God puts potential in you because it's in here in Psalms, but he won't complete it for you. It's much like Jesus when he was teaching the parable of the talents, and he gave the talents to some, 1, 2, and 5. And you know the story if you read it. If you haven't, read it. But basically, two of them did something with their talent. In other words, they helped and worked with the potential that God already put in them. But the other one didn't. And the one who didn't end up in a good place. And so it's part of our destiny to work with the Lord with the potential that he's put inside of us to complete it. That's my point. And this is part of your destiny in Abraham as being sons of Abraham and being sons of God simultaneously. And I really wanted to hit Psalms 139 in this one because this is really the main thrust of this talk, so that you will get who you are, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have the DNA of the Father already inside of you. This is your identity. And that your days were purposed and fashioned for you before you were ever born. That means, and look, then the word, it says that how precious are your thoughts for me. They're all good. All your days are supposed to be good. All the purposes in your life are supposed to be good and fulfilled. This is a promise to the sons of Abraham. I want you to get that Psalms was written after Genesis. You realize that, right? This is a promise to the sons and daughters of Abraham. This is part of your heirship in Christ, right here. And I want you to take time and read this psalm and meditate on it and find your identity as being sons of God and sons of Abraham simultaneously. I'm going to end this talk here because we've kind of went as deep as I want to go in this particular part of it. And we'll move on into some other things in the next talk, but I wanted you to get this is the foundation of it. Psalms 139 is really the foundation of the blueprint inside of you. That blueprint has everything you'll ever need inside of you. Hence, all you need's in you now, because if the Trinity, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit inside of you, which Jesus prayed the Father in chapter 17 of John, saying, Father, make them one with us as you and I are one. So dude, everything you need is inside of you now, if you're in Christ. You don't have a lack of power, destiny, wealth, whatever, because the very Christ lives inside of you if you be in Christ and be born again. So I'm going to leave it there, and we will see you on the other side.